plate a potential nugget.
The other theme that caught my attention, Pradeep, was this notion of journaling, right? You referred to Babarnama, Babar's autobiography, which is based on the extensive notes that he took during his life. Can you talk a little bit about what you've observed great leaders do in the way they journaled in those times?
Right. So we don't have many examples of these, frustratingly, and even Babar's is incomplete, and it's a remarkable feat that it survived for such a long time after all the troubles that Humayun had, his successor had. And it's very, and there were other Mughal emperors who had this as well, but I've chosen Babar in this book, so I've spent a lot more time on that. The other person is Trishadeva Raya. We have Raya Vachakam, which gives us a fairly good insight into his life. And there are some others of other Nayak kings as well, but these are difficult to come by. Journals haven't stood the test of time. But what is important from this, Deepak, is I've seen very successful leaders practice journaling, which might be as simple as just writing down what are important lessons they've learned for the day, or they may be tracking something. So, for example, have I listened well today? And every day they would track whether they've been able to listen, they've been able to summarize. Sometimes it might be actual words that they will enter. Sometimes it might just be tally marks that they might make, the number of times that they've done something. But one thing that, I've maintained a journal myself several times over, I change this very often. One thing that I find is the power of journaling is that it makes us self-aware. And when we become self-aware, most of the times we become self-correcting as well. The data of the journal just stares back at us, and it's unbiased information, right? I'm doing it for myself. There's nobody's bias there. Nobody's judging me. It's just my own observations of myself. It's a pretty powerful way to change behavior. So I would definitely recommend. In fact, I've in the last part of the book where I've talked about how you can make this history of a very tangible way for us to improve our own leadership. Journaling is something that I mentioned, and I might say if you read Aurangzeb chapter, for example, and you find there's one thing that you want to, one insight that you've learned from it, every day ask yourself in the journal whether you practiced it or not. And if you maintain the journal just for a week or maybe a fortnight, the insights will be enormous.
In this podcast, I had the opportunity to speak with Rich Fernandez, CEO of Search Inside Yourself, a leadership development program that was initially designed in Google. He speaks about journaling as an opportunity to reprogram ourselves.
So, you're citing some studies by James Pennebaker and others who've really found that journaling has helped all sorts of outcomes, psychological, but also very tangible in terms of finding new jobs after losing them. And I think part of the factors that lead to that are that when you journal, you're basically capturing and encoding your thoughts about a specific situation rather than letting them basically fester, to use a very untechnical term. And so when you are doing this very concrete exercise of stating how you feel, stating what you hope for, stating your goals, you are really making them very, very clear in your own mind. And I think it really helps navigate towards those positive outcomes. One thing we know also, another bit of neuroscience, is that what they found is that people have a better memory for things they've written down than that which they've typed in a classroom setting. That's been a finding in neuroscience. And what neuroscientists have found is the reason for that is that because we can type faster than we can write longhand. And we could type almost at the speed of what's being spoken. And so basically what we're doing is we're just essentially quickly processing but not encoding what's being said. Okay? And when you write something longhand, like when you journal, you actually have to articulate entire thoughts in your head, and they become encoded in your memory in a much stronger fashion. And so basically, you're programming yourself in another sense of the word when you journal. You're programming your brain to perceive a situation, through a certain lens or perspective, and it becomes much more real and concrete. And in some ways, you start to live your way into that, if that makes any sense.
I love the distinction Rich brings between typing online versus writing in a notebook. It's such a nuanced and a profound distinction. If you want to learn more about journaling, you might also be interested in the conversation with Vinay Sitapati about Narasimha Rao and how the practice of journaling gave him the ability to process the complexity around him. Thank you for listening.